Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's go ahead and grab those. And Hebrews chapter number 4 tonight, Hebrews chapter number 4. And we're going to look at the final three verses there in Hebrews chapter 4. And I'd like to bring to you a message tonight entitled, Help for Our Labor. Help for Our Labor tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4, starting in verse number 14, down to verse number 16. The Bible reads there in verse number 14 of Hebrews chapter number 4. It says, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful church where we can gather together and worship you tonight during this midweek service. And Father, we pray that you would be magnified and that you'd be glorified throughout this time. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn how to obtain help from God during our time of need. And Father, I pray that if there's some folks here in this room that are maybe going through trials, maybe going through some difficult times throughout this season, I pray, Lord, that you would guide them. I pray, Lord, that you would help them and you would strengthen them during this time. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize that your grace is always sufficient for every need that we have in our lives. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this time. We pray now that you bless the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In every area of our lives tonight, we will only be successful as we learn to desperately depend upon the help from our God. I think about the Bible verse in Psalms chapter 127, verse number 1. The Bible says there, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And the psalmist is simply stating there in that verse that in every endeavor in our life, whatever it might be, whether it's building a building, whether it's building our family, whether it's building a city, we must pursue that with complete dependence upon our God. For the Bible teaches, without the help of God, our labor and our efforts are in vain. There will be no profit in the things that we do. And we might put forth a lot of energy, and we might put forth a lot of time, and we might put forth a lot of money, but there will be no fruit and genuine success without the help that we desperately need from our God. And therefore, we find that in every area of our life, we desperately need God's grace, and we desperately need God's help in everything that we do. I think about the life of King Asa. He was the third king of Judah, the southern kingdom. And early in his reign, the Bible teaches us that he faced an insurmountable battle against the Ethiopians. And the Bible says there was 1 million Ethiopian soldiers. There were with them 300 Ethiopian chariots. And Asa was greatly outnumbered during that time. He didn't know what to do. There was not a strategic plan to go against that many people. He was outnumbered. But we find here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 14 that he humbled himself and he desperately sought the help of God. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 9, it says, And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And we find here in that story a miraculous victory that God gave to Asa because Asa depended upon the help of God. And I wish here tonight that we could say that that was his continual testimony throughout his life. But we find in the scriptures that later on in his life, after many years of prosperity and peace, he finds himself once again in a predicament, and this time against the northern kingdom. And we find here, instead of relying upon the Lord, at this time he had a league with the king of Syria by the name of Ben-Hadad, and he relied upon him, and he relied upon that partnership. And we find here that he is rebuked by the prophet by the name of Hanani. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand? Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And you see, there was a time in Asa's life when he was humble. And there was a time in Asa's life when he depended upon the Lord, and when he was desperate for the grace of God upon his life. And when he did that, God blessed him. And when he did that, God strengthened him and delivered him and guided him into victory. But then we find here in his life that as he got older and as he got some more experience and as he grew wise in his own eyes, he no longer depended upon the help of God. And the Bible teaches that that pride led to his ultimate destruction within his life. And you see, likewise for us here tonight, we must not lose our sense of desperation when it comes to the need that we have for the grace of God and for the power of God and for the wisdom of God and the guidance of God that we need in our lives. I don't know about you, but I need God's help desperately when it comes to my marriage. I need God's help desperately when it comes to raising my children. I need God's help in my life in winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need God's help in our life in bearing the trials and the difficult seasons that we face on this earth, and we need God's help to stay faithful and joyful in the work of the Lord. And the Bible says in John 15, verse 5, that without God, we can do nothing. And we need Him tonight. We desperately need His help in our family. We desperately need His help in our churches. We desperately need His help as we try to win a world for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that hymn that's entitled, I Need Thee Every Hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. And tonight we need the Lord every hour. Tonight we need the Lord every minute. Tonight we need the Lord every single moment of our lives. And the encouraging truth concerning that here this evening is that the Bible teaches us that God's help is available. And God's grace is available for us here tonight. And God wants to help us. And God wants to strengthen us. And God wants to guide us in our lives. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And tonight I want to share with you, as we look at Hebrews chapter number 4 here this evening, I want to share with you a few thoughts on how we can obtain help from our Almighty God. How can we receive grace from God as we live this Christian life? And first of all, notice with me, I find in verse number 14, it begins with access through Christ. It begins with access through Christ. And first of all, we find here that to receive help and assistance from God, we must first have a relationship with God. And that relationship and that access to God is made possible only through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 14, the Bible says there, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You see, in the Old Testament, God had appointed priests. And God appointed these priests that they would serve as mediators between God and the people. And amongst the priests, there was one high priest who would be the supreme religious leader. And the position of the high priest was hereditary. It would go back through the lineage of Aaron, who was Moses' brother. And the high priest had many different responsibilities that he had as he oversaw the religious activity of the nation of Israel. But the most important duty that he had was to offer the highest sacrifice on a very special day, which was called the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. As we think about the Day of Atonement, it was held annually on the 10th day of the 7th month, and this was the one day out of the year that the high priest alone was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and before the Shekinah glory of God. And we find in the scriptures in Leviticus that the high priest would have several different ceremonies that he would do and different rituals and sacrifices that he would give for himself and also for the people and different cleansings that he would do on that day. And we find that he would take that sacrifice ultimately and he would pass through the outer court. He would go through the holy place, and finally he would enter into the Holy of Holies behind that veil, which housed the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And it was there finally that he would take the blood of the sacrifice and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And the sacrifice then would atone for the sins of Israel for another year. And the Bible says in Leviticus chapter number 16, verse 34, "And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses." And this was what God required from the nation of Israel year after year. Year for the atonement and for the payment of their sins. And this was quite a ritual that they went through. It was quite a ceremony that they had to maintain from year after year. And then on top of that, furthermore, the Bible teaches us between these yearly sacrifices, every day after day and every week after week, there were thousands of sacrifices of produce and thousands of sacrifices of animals that were made. And this was a process that continued within the life of Israel because the sacrifice was never complete. And those sacrifices were never perfect. And the priesthood was never perfect during that day. But the Bible teaches us now, as we come to the time of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and he died on the cross of Calvary, and Jesus now became the perfect sacrifice, and Jesus became the perfect high priest, and he abolished the need for any more sacrifices. He finished it all on the cross of Calvary, and he became the atonement for our sins here tonight. And just as the high priest would take the blood of the sacrifice and pass through the outer court and through the holy place and eventually into the Holy of Holies to present the sacrifice of the nation unto the Lord, Jesus passed through the heavens and he entered into the third heaven before the presence of God the Father, and he presented himself. He did not take a goat, he did not take a bullock, he did not take a ram, but he took himself, the perfect spotless Lamb of God, and he presented himself as the atonement for the sins of mankind, and not just for a nation, but for all the world, and not just for 1 year, but forever. It's eternal redemption that he has secured for us here tonight. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And when he sacrificed himself, the veil in the temple was torn asunder." The Bible teaches us that the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, signifying that now we can have access to God through the sacrifice and the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And it doesn't matter tonight if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter tonight if you're a Gentile. The Bible says, now through Jesus Christ we are brought nigh. And now through the blood and the sacrifice of what he did for us, we have access to God the Father through prayer here tonight. And so tonight the Bible teaches that those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, those who are saved tonight, those who are born again, those who are the children of God tonight have access directly to God through Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And so first of all, here we find that we must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we desire to have help from God, it begins with access to God the Father through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then secondly, I want you to notice with me as we move on, in verse number 15, we find here not only the access that we have through Christ, but I also find here a comforting and an encouraging truth that Jesus, we find here, has the ability to comfort us here tonight. I find here the ability to comfort. And look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "Therefore we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And that phrase there in the Bible, "touched with the feeling," is the Greek word sympatheo. And it means to feel sympathy. And it means to have compassion. It means to have the capacity to share in the feelings of another. And the writer of Hebrews is saying here tonight that Jesus, our high priest, is not someone who does not understand our infirmities. He's not someone that does not understand our weaknesses here tonight, but rather he has a complete understanding and sympathy towards our needs and all of our weaknesses tonight. For the Bible teaches that he came down and he walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, and he experienced the infirmities that man would go through. I think about what one pastor said. He said, "We have a God not only who is there, but one also who has been here." And thank God tonight that Jesus Christ came and he lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, 100% God, at the same time 100% man. And we find here he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And as we think about this truth here tonight, this was a concept that was difficult for the Jews and also for the Gentiles alike to comprehend during their day. The Jews believed that God was incapable of sharing the feelings of men. The Gentiles, the Stoics, and the Epicureans, who dominated the philosophy of Greek and Roman culture, they believed that God was apathetic. They believed that God could not understand the feelings and the problems and the needs of men. And they believed that God was completely detached from mankind. But the Bible says there once again, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And being 100% God, we understand that he could not sin. There was not one moment when Jesus ceased to be God. But at the same time, the Bible teaches us that he was 100% man. And he was able to experience the temptations and the infirmities of man, yet without sin. And you see, Jesus tonight, he knows what it's like to be tired. And Jesus tonight, he understands what it feels like to be betrayed and to be alone. Jesus knows what's like to agonize in physical pain. And he knows what it was like to battle against temptation. And Jesus tonight is not a high priest who lived in an ivory tower and remained in the comforts of his palace. But the Bible teaches that he humbled himself. He became a man. He lived as a carpenter's son. He was veiled in flesh. He died an excruciating death on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, Jesus understands our hurts. And therefore, Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses here tonight. And he is able to comfort you tonight. And he's able to help you tonight through what he went through here on this earth. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And that word "succor" there means to aid, and it means to relieve. And the fact of the matter here tonight is that you might be going through something, and in your mind you might be thinking, you know what, there's nobody that truly understands my pain. And there's no one that truly understands the hurt and the difficulties that I'm going through. And you know what? You're right about that. There's nobody that's exactly in the same position that you are. There's nobody that's experienced exactly what you have within your life. But rest assured here tonight, we have a Savior and we have a perfect high priest and we have God who was tempted in all points like as we are. And he knows our pain and he knows our difficulties that we have in this life. And he knows the infirmities that we have. And he comes to comfort us here tonight. And he cares for us here tonight. And he wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. And he wants to edify you as you live faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I remember hearing a story about a man who was selling 5 puppies for sale. And as he placed the sign out and he was waiting for different buyers to come, there was a little boy that came and saw that sign. He loved puppies, and so he went up to that man and he asked him how much those puppies were. He said, "They're $25 each." And he looked down into his pocket. He only had $2, and he got a little bummed about that. And he looked back at the gentleman and he said, "Sir, could I just see the puppies? I love puppies. I want to see them." And the gentleman obliged. He said, "Sure, you can go ahead and see those puppies." And so he let them out of the cage, and 4 of them ran out. And that little boy got excited. He started counting those different puppies. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then he looked up at the man and he said, "Where's the 5th puppy?" And as soon as he said that, the fifth puppy rounded the corner and came out. And as he saw that fifth puppy, he noticed that something was wrong. That puppy was dragging the hind leg and it was limping as it was coming to that boy. And that man told that little boy there that that puppy was born without a hip socket. And he said, "I'm afraid to tell you, it's going to be crippled for the rest of its life." And as soon as that boy saw that crippled puppy, he said, "That's the puppy I want." He said, "Sell me that puppy. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pay you in payments, but that's the puppy that I want to take home." And the man responded, "Young man, do you realize that he's going to be crippled for the rest of his life? You're going to have to take care of him." And that little boy smiled and looked back at that man, and he lifted up one pant leg, and there was a metal brace on his leg. And he said, "You see, I don't walk that well either. And I understand that for that puppy, he's going to require a lot of love and a lot of care, but that's the puppy that I want." And that man looked back at that little boy and said, "You can have that puppy for free. You know what it takes to take care of a puppy like that." And I know this evening that's a limited illustration, but it gives us somewhat of a better understanding concerning the sympathy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he became man, that he might know the infirmities and the temptations of man, that he might be able to comfort us in our season of need, that he might be able to strengthen us during the times of our discouragement here tonight. And so we find here, first of all, the access that we must have through Christ. To have the help of God, we must have a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then also we find here the encouraging thought, the ability to comfort that Jesus has for each and every one of us here tonight. And then finally, I want you to notice an action that each and every one of us must take when it comes to obtaining God's help during the time of need. And we find here in verse number 16, the appeal to come. I find here the appeal to come. And it says in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And first of all, I find here that we must enter without reservations. We must enter without reservations. And in verse number 16, it says there, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." And the Lord calls us tonight to come before him in prayer, to enter into the throne of grace through the privilege of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Come boldly." And that word boldly there means to come with confidence. And the Bible is teaching us here tonight that we can approach the Lord confidently because it's a throne of grace. And tonight it's not a throne of judgment. It's not a throne of fear. But to the believer here tonight, it is the throne of grace. And as we enter not on our own merits, but we enter through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." I think about what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "We have a friend at court. Our bridegroom is on the throne. He who reigns in heaven loves us better than we love ourselves. Come then, why should we hesitate? Why should we delay our approach to his throne of mercy? What is it that we want at this moment? Let us ask for it. If it is a time of need, then we see clearly from this verse that it is a time when we are permitted and encouraged to pray." And that's what God desires from each and every one of us, that we would boldly come to the throne of grace, that we would bring him our needs, and we would pray concerning the weaknesses and the infirmities that we might have within our lives. I remember several years ago when I was working as a youth pastor for my father. And I remember oftentimes as I counseled with different teenagers, at the end of that counseling time, I would encourage them and I would tell these young teenagers, "I think now you should go to pastor's office and seek counsel from him." And I would encourage them to go see their pastor, enter in and knock on that door and seek some counsel from your pastor. And I remember oftentimes they would respond back to me. They would say, "Oh, no, Brother Paul, I can't do that. And that's pastor. He's the senior pastor of the church. And he's got a lot of things on his plate. He's very, very busy. And no, I cannot go and enter into his office." But I would continue to encourage them. And I would implore them, "Go and see pastor." But most of them, they would say, "Oh, I'll think about it." And eventually they would never enter into pastor's office and seek counsel. But me, on the other hand, my office was right next to my pastor, and I would go in there every single opportunity I had. And I would open the door, I would go right in, I'd sit on the chair right next to his desk, and I would ask him every single question that I had. whether it was a financial need that I had, whether it was a marriage problem that I had, whether it was about raising my children or a ministry need, whatever it was, I would go in and I would see my pastor and I would ask him. And every single time, he would stop everything that he was doing. Never would he think that my need was laughable. Never would he kind of push me away and tell me to come back at another time. But he would always stop everything that he's doing and he'd give me counsel. He'd open up the Word of God and he'd help me every single time that I would go in there. And you see, for me, unlike others and unlike many of those teenagers that I encourage to go to pastor's office, I received a lot of help. And I received a lot of counsel, and I received a lot of words of wisdom from my pastor because I had boldness to enter into his office because not only was he my pastor, but at the same time, he was also my father. And you see, tonight, we must realize that the God of the universe, yes, he's our sovereign king, and yes, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but at the same time, he is our Father, and he loves us tonight, and he wants us to come, and he wants to hear about our needs, and he wants to strengthen us, and he wants us to boldly pour our hearts unto him. The Bible says in Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And so tonight, we must go to him frequently. And tonight, we must go to the throne of grace openly and without reservations. We must boldly enter into the throne of grace. And so we must enter without reservations tonight. But then finally, I want you to notice with me here this evening, once we enter without reservations, we find the promise, we can exit with resources. We can exit with resources. And look at how the verse closes there in verse number 16. It says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this is not necessarily speaking about our physical resources, although that's part of it, but primarily it's speaking about our spiritual resources, that by the grace of God, he will give us strength. That by the grace of God, he will give us divine enablement. He will give us joy in our life, and he'll give us peace during our time of need. And as I think about this verse, it's interesting to note that word there that we find towards the end, the word help, where it says find grace to help in the time of need, is a Greek word, and it's the word bothea, and it means to aid. But it also carries the idea of a rope used for supporting a vessel. In Acts chapter number 27, we find that word used once again, and it gives us a good picture concerning the support there. And it says there in verse number 14, it says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. This is the Apostle Paul. He's on his final journey to the city of Rome, and as he travels there, there's a great storm that comes along his way. And the Bible continues in verse number 15, and it says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And the boat there is speaking about the skiff, and it's speaking about a small boat attached to a ship to go ashore in. And so either that boat, somewhat like a lifeboat if we think about it, but it was a small boat that they had on the large ship, they would use it so they can go ashore when they came to land. And as we think about the story here, either that boat was thrown overboard and it was on board prior to that, or it was in tow and being damaged by the storm that they were going through. And verse 17 teaches us there, it says, which when they had taken up, speaking about that skiff, that small boat, they used helps. And there's that word again, they used helps undergirding the ship. And that word helps there in Acts chapter number 27 is the same word, bothea. And it's speaking about the fact that they took cords or they took ropes and they began undergirding the boat to keep it from falling apart. And from my understanding, it's a practice called frapping. And they would take ropes that they would have, maybe some chains that they would have, and they would bind that small boat and they would wrap it tightly to support the frame of that vessel from buckling and snapping in the storm. And they strengthened it with that frapping with those ropes. And you see here tonight, there's a wonderful picture there concerning the grace to help during our time of need. And you see tonight, when we're going through the storms of life, many times our prayer is for God to remove the storm. But it might be tonight that God has a better plan, and God's will for us is that we would remain in that storm, and therefore we ought not to pray for God to do a removing work, but we ought to pray for God to do an improving work within our lives. That God would undergird us with His strength, that God would undergird us with His peace, that God would undergird us with His joy, and that God would give us grace to help during our time of need, that we would not fall apart, but that we would withstand the storm, that we would live joyfully, that we would live peacefully with the grace of God upon our lives. And you see, when we seek the Lord and come boldly to His throne, during times of difficulty and great stress, God promises that He will give us grace to help in time of need. In Psalms 27, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I think about the testimony of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we know that he had a thorn in the flesh. And the Bible says there in verse number 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And God said to the Apostle Paul, there's a great purpose for that thorn. He said, there's a great purpose for that weakness that I've put in your life. It's what keeps you humble in your life. It's what allows the power of God to rest upon your life. And God said to Paul, "I choose not to remove your suffering, but rather I choose to give you strength." He said, "Paul, I choose not to end your pain, but rather I choose to give you peace. And Paul, I choose not to change your circumstance, but rather I choose to give you contentment." And you see, God never promises to remove every single trial from our life, but God does promise that He'll provide grace for us during our time of need. And God wants to strengthen us. And just like those sailors were strengthening the frame of that boat that it might withstand the storm, likewise God, through His grace, when we come boldly to the throne of grace and we come without reservations and we're seeking His power and we're seeking His guidance and wisdom in our life, God will strengthen us. And God will undergird us, and God will give us the grace that we need, that we can continue with joy, that we can be faithful in the house of God, that we can continue winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of dire circumstances, even in the midst of news concerning an illness that we might have. We can still serve God with joy and continue to press forward in the work that God has called us to do, not by our strength. We can't do it on our own, but we can through the help of God. And God says, "I'll give you that grace during the time of need. I'll give you that strength. I'll give you that encouragement. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the wisdom and the guidance that you need in your life." I think about the story that is told of Booth Tucker, of Frederick Booth Tucker. One night, while conducting an evangelistic meeting in the Salvation Army Citadel in Chicago, Frederick Booth Tucker preached on the sympathy of the Lord Jesus Christ. After his message, a man approached him and said, "If your wife had just died like mine has, and your babies were crying for their mother who would never come back, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying tonight." Tragically, a few days later, Tucker's wife was also killed in a train wreck, and her body was brought back to Chicago and carried to the same citadel for her funeral. After the service was done, the bereaved preacher looked down into the silent face of his wife, and then he turned to those that were attending within the audience, and he said, "The other day a man told me I wouldn't speak of the sympathy of Jesus if my wife had just died. If that man is here, I want to tell him that Christ is sufficient. My heart is broken, but it has a song put there by Jesus. I want that man to know that Jesus Christ speaks comfort to me today." And tonight, thank God for the grace of God. And all of us, we're going to have seasons of difficulty and seasons of discouragement and seasons of physical illnesses that we might face, seasons of financial difficulty that we might have in our life. But every single time that we go into those seasons, God says, I want you to boldly come to the throne of grace. God says, I have grace for you. I have strength for you. I have encouragement for you. And I want to help you and undergird you that you might remain faithful and victorious in the Christian life. And so here tonight, we desperately need the help of God. In every aspect of our life, in every season of life, we need God's help. We need His assistance. And it begins with access through Christ. It begins with the relationship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with access that we have through His blood. And then we are encouraged that He has the ability to comfort each and every one of us here tonight. And He knows our needs. He knows our difficulty. And then we find the action, the appeal to come. He says, enter without reservations, and you can exit with the resources of God. God can strengthen you and help you to press forward in the Lord Jesus Christ.